has chose this morning comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you're using a pew Bible, you'll find that on page 911. I invite you to follow along. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
To everybody, if you will, please have your Bibles open to where he just read in Acts chapter 2. As he mentioned, if you have one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 911. We will be getting back to that passage in a few moments. I think Jim mentioned this at the beginning of worship this morning. Today is a bit of a different day. First of all, if you are visiting with us, we are blessed to have you with us. And we hope that you are blessed by our time together today and that you're encouraged in your walk with the Lord. We've got some special things taking place when worship concludes today. I'll start with the last thing first, and that is our fellowship meal. Especially this time of year, we annually like to just take a moment to celebrate the new faces, the new members we have gained among us over the past year, and we have many of those with us, and we're blessed and grateful for the fact that we're growing and that there are new people among us. And fellowship meals like this are an opportunity, maybe if you haven't had a chance to meet new people the way you want to, it's a good way to interact. And so if you're visiting with us, we would love to have you stay with us, enjoy a meal, and maybe just get to know us a little bit better as well. But that will be a special time together this afternoon. But before that, this is where today is really different. As soon as amen is said today, if at all possible, really the best thing for all of us would be to stay in our pews, because we're going to have a church photograph. What's going to be taking place, we've got a handful of our men who will quickly be taking some stuff away from the stage and bringing some chairs up here. And so it's easiest if we stay in our pews during that time so that they can get that done quickly. And then once we get that in place, we can sort of in a bit of an organized fashion get everybody up here. We will have seats for those who are more comfortable sitting for the picture, and those of us who are more able-bodied can be standing or maybe even standing on chairs in the back. But we'll go through all those instructions once amen is said. But we do really want, and by the way, if you're a visitor, you're welcome to be a part of the picture. We won't force you to. If you're a member, we will pretty much force you to. But if you're a visitor, we won't force you to be in the picture. It's been a long time since we've done something like this. Of course, there's never going to be a Sunday when we can get everybody to be here, but we thought today with the meal this would be a good time to commemorate this moment in time in history in the life of our church. Speaking of this moment in time in the life and history of this church, today wraps up sort of an introductory series for January as we've kicked off our theme for 2020 that we're calling Show and Tell. And what we're going to really be focused on this year is, as a congregation in our lessons and our sermons, is what it means to go into this community, to be a shining light, to show and tell others the Lord, who He is, what He's doing in our lives, and to live out our faith in meaningful, visible ways in this community. As our members know, and as you see on the screen, here recently we've adopted, if you will allow this terminology, we've adopted a new logo for us as a congregation. I haven't said a whole lot about this yet, but I want this morning just to briefly highlight this imagery, because I want you to know this is not just something that's to be used on publications and printed on t-shirts, although we will use it in that way. What this logo and what this symbol is about more than anything else is it is to remind us of the community that God has called us to serve. The imagery in this picture, although in some ways it's a bit symbolic, remind you of the landscape and the geography of East Tennessee. If we lived in the Rocky Mountains, the mountains would look a little bit different. If we lived by the beach, it would look different than this. And those churches and those communities, they are to be mindful of the communities that they serve. But this is our community. This is our region. As we talked about last week, among us, between where we live and work, is composed, by my approximation, about 11 or 12 counties on an everyday basis. And that makes up a little bit more than 10% of the state of Tennessee. And that doesn't count those of you who work on the road and travel a lot with your jobs. And we are all over the place, and God has called us not just to come together on Sunday mornings to worship like this, although He has. He's called us to go into the world, to seek and to save, to serve, not to be served, to let our light shine, not that others see us and say, look how good those people are, but that other people see Christ living in us. And as we've thought about discipleship over this past year, this year we're going to continue to think about discipleship, but in what it means to go out and be disciples before the world, and what it means to go out and make disciples. If you haven't been with us, or if you're visiting with us today, and you want to listen to our recent sermons, this series has been a little bit different in that it's been an opportunity for us to profile and highlight some things that are already taking place and have been taking place among us for many years in ways in which we have been and are doing things, whether, as we talked about last week, through our jobs, through our careers and our workplaces, ways in which in our interactions on a daily basis through with our coworkers or through those we serve, our clients or customers or students, for those of you who are in schools, or patients, for those of you who are in healthcare, ways in which we allow our interactions with them to be an opportunity and a platform to share the Lord with others. 2 weeks ago, we focused on ministries that are already at work among the church. And if you weren't with us, we talked about the fact that we as a congregation, through the things taking place among us and through us, the organized efforts, if you will, we are literally contacting thousands upon thousands of people every year through our various works. And yet with these past 2 weeks of lessons that we've highlighted, there are still other things taking place among us on a regular basis in this community and throughout this region. And this morning I briefly want to highlight those as we consider what does it mean to have favor among all the people. That phrase that we find in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. On the next screen, you're going to see a sample listing. And I say sample because I know I have not thought of, and I don't even know myself, every organization that this congregation is involved with or a part of within this community. But I have listed the ones that first came to my mind. So please forgive me if I have overlooked something that you or somebody else is a part of, or maybe that I don't know about. So this is just a sample, and I'm going to quickly go through them, that we as members are active participants or have been, and sometimes sit on the boards of some of these organizations. There's 4-H, Boy Scouts, CEASE, which is especially a women's shelter here in the community, Central Services, I'll say a bit more about that in a moment, the Chamber of Commerce, Habitat for Humanity, Hidden Treasures Academy, which is a school for young adults with special needs who no longer are eligible to be in the public schools but continue to get some vocational training and other life skills. Healthy Kids Running Series, we'll say a little bit about that in a moment. MATS, the temporary shelter for the displaced and homeless in town. Morristown Doll Club. Morristown Hamblin Hospital. Addiction Recovery Groups. And these are more general. Neighborhood groups, community organizations, school organizations and councils in which families and parents are very involved within their local schools. And if we just did all the sports teams and other extracurricular activities that our kids and parents are involved in, it would probably take up 3 or 4 screens of this stuff. And again, this is just a sample listing of activities, organizations, and programs that exist within the community that we as a church have members involved in those things, and through those things we continue to do good and bless this community. And these themselves are wonderful opportunities for us to allow Jesus to be seen in us. As I've done over the past couple of weeks, I briefly want to highlight a few of our members who are represented by this list. One of those things, one of the organizations on here is Central Services. And if you don't know much about Central Services, they do so much for the community, especially for people who have a variety of physical needs. A lot of us know that over the years, Jerry and Kathy Johnson, and one thing, last year Jerry was profiled in the Citizen Tribune, and I wish I would have kept that article because I would have had it on the screen. And so I called Jerry over the past week. I said, Jerry, you know, when you were in the newspaper, do you have that article? Nah, I just threw it away. And Jerry doesn't do this stuff for the attention and the accolades. I like to give Jerry a hard time, and he deserves it sometimes. But I'll never forget. Now, I don't know what day of the week it was, but many years ago, all of a sudden, somebody comes to the back door of the church building. It was throughout the week. It was a weekday. And it was Jerry and Kathy Johnson. Now, as soon as he started talking, I knew he wasn't from around these parts. But Jerry and Kathy sat in my office and pretty much told me their life story and told me what brought them to Morristown. And I don't have time to recount everything that took place in that conversation. But one thing I remember is they both, and I'll also say this, and you aren't surprised by this, between the two, Kathy was far more articulate and had a lot of things she wanted to share, but Jerry did as well. But one of the things that they said is, we want to get connected to the local church, we want to be active members and serve through the church, and we want to be active in this community as well. We're not from here. We really don't know anybody here at the moment, but we want to be a part of this community. We want to be a part of this church, and we want to bless everybody. And I know all of us here as the Morristown congregation, we have been blessed by Jerry and Kathy for many years now. And this community has too. Jerry probably couldn't tell you the number of hours over the years that he and Kathy have volunteered and served through Central Services, but it has been a lot. And as we know, as Kathy's health has declined, Jerry's first priority is certainly her and her needs. And at times he's had to step back a little bit from Central Services, but he told me recently, he's like, I'm going to get back at it and keep serving and giving my time through that organization. And we appreciate that about Jerry and Kathy too, and their good hearts. But one thing, when you talk to Jerry about things that he and Kathy have done, whether it's through the church or through Central Services, and I'll also add this, what Jerry has done in his service as a husband to Kathy, he's always said this, I just want to be a light. I just want to let my light shine. He has said that to me over and over and over again throughout the years. It's not about him, it's about the Lord and what the Lord has done for him. And I appreciate Jerry and Kathy both, and we are so blessed to have them among us. And East Tennessee and Morristown are so blessed that they decided to leave Wisconsin and come this way. And it's slightly warmer here too. That doesn't hurt. Another person I want to talk about, and you will see her on the screen. I was able to take a screenshot of this from the internet. You won't be able to read all of the text there. But Florence Stubblefield. Florence has been volunteering at Morristown Hamlin Hospital for 26 plus years. Back in August, she was named the Volunteer of the Month. And at that time, she went and lived in Wartburg with her daughter for a while. And we're so thankful that she's now back in our area. And when she got back in the area, guess what? She immediately started volunteering at Morristown Hamlin again. Now, you can't read this up here, but actually in this article, it tells Florence's age, but I'm not going to tell Florence's age. She looks 60, but she's not 60. I will tell you that. Florence, most people at Florence's age, and I don't mean this to sound critical in any way or as an insult to anybody, but most people at Florence's age, first, she has been blessed with relatively good health, but most people would say, you know what? I've done enough in life. I've given enough time, whether it's to my family or my community or my church. I've done enough, and you know, there's only so much people can expect of me. Florence has been volunteering at Morristown Hamlin for more than 26 years and has accrued in volunteer hours 19,000 plus hours in volunteer work. Now, if you do the math, if you work a 40-hour job every week, Florence has given more than 9 years of labor in volunteer service to Morristown Hamlin Hospital. That is an amazing thing. And it humbles me and it inspires me. And she'll be the first to tell you, she's not the only volunteer at Morristown Hamlin Hospital. Hospitals in general and a lot of healthcare facilities really depend upon and lean upon their volunteers. And when you're there, whether you've had surgery or you have a family member, a friend who's had surgery, a lot of the people that you will see and interact with are actually volunteers. They are not paid employees. And Florence is one of those people. And I think, you think about the fact that 19,000 hours, 26 years, think about how many people Florence just by herself has blessed through her interactions with them. And you think about also the reasons and the causes that bring people to hospitals. It's not the most exciting place to go to, but to have a friendly face, to have somebody who's there just to serve, and they're there because they want to be there. They're not getting paid to be there. She's there because she wants to be there and she wants to help and serve. And Florence, we're so happy that you're back, and we're so blessed by everything that you do among us and in this community. And the last person I want to talk about today, and by the way, I want to thank everybody who's allowed me to use you in this series. I did tell Florence, and I didn't even ask Jerry if I was allowed to talk about him. Most of you I did ask for permission. With Florence and Jerry, I thought it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. But I do appreciate those of you who've let me use you as an example. And by no means are these all the people among us who are doing things, because so many people among us in so many different ways are blessing the lives of countless individuals every day. But it's been a real blessing to me. This has probably been about the most fun I've had preparing lessons. And as I've been reminded, especially by my wife, they've also been my longest lessons. But it's because we've had so much good things to share about others. But the last person I want to talk about this morning is Leah DeCesar. Leah DeCesar is involved in a number of ways in our community. When I contacted her, and I said, you know, you can talk about all kinds of different stuff, because Leah has, between her job at the hospital, involvement at school with the boys, things that she and her family have gone through personally, Leah is somebody who always has her eyes, but also her ears, and most of all her heart, open to the needs of people around her and the needs of this area. On her own initiative, last year, she started the Healthy Kids Running Series in this community. Somebody who works in healthcare, recognizing the physical needs of people and the physical needs of children, she said, you know, here's something good that can bless the lives of this community and bless the lives of children and families. And so I asked her to write about the things that she's involved with. She said, I find joy and a sense of selflessness in participating in the community. By giving my time, by serving, empowering, encouraging others through the various organizations that I participate in. As a coordinator of Healthy Kids Running Series, I love the hour that I get to spend with kids, encouraging them to break barriers and overcome mental obstacles to reach their goal. I love cheering them on at the finish line too. I love what, by the way, she says, I love. And that's a good thing. Her passion and her heart and her desire is clear in her words. I love watching and being a part of people's lives doing things that they did not think they were capable of and attaining their goals. Whether it is praying with patients or the patient who was on a ventilator the day before and helping them get out of bed and walk, to watching children cross the finish line a little faster than the week before, to also encouraging my fellow gym members as I exercise. And my greatest blessing and joy is watching my children attain goals they are reaching for spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Getting to encourage and empower them, being a part of the community, helps me build relationships with others. And that's what a lot of this is about. Us building relationships with the community, giving us a platform, not just to show, but also to tell people who the Lord is and what He's doing in our lives. Leah, I didn't ask you to do this, but she says these verses came to mind, and a couple of them are going to be on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And I realize that when Paul wrote that, he's especially talking about the work of the church and our interactions with one another. But that common good is not just to be kept for us. It's to be shared and spread among all. And we all have our varieties of gifts and talents in which we can serve. One more passage that she shared, and it's an excellent one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." As I said earlier, I could preach all day about all kinds of other examples, but these are just a few. Jerry, Florence, Leah, those we've talked about in recent weeks, of what it means to show and tell our faith throughout our communities. Just briefly, I won't go over all the details, but as you open your newsletter today, you will find a number of upcoming opportunities for us to be showing and telling our faith through some of these organizations that we mentioned earlier. This coming Saturday, we have an opportunity to serve through the Daily Bread. You can see those details in the newsletter. That is for all people, all ages, however you might be able to serve with your time. If you'd like to know more about that, you can see Jeff Maxwell today. In a few weeks, we will be hosting a blood drive in our church building on a Wednesday afternoon. It's an opportunity for us just to show people we care about this community. We want to help meet people's physical needs. Yes, we ultimately want to help spiritual needs, but sometimes that begins by helping meet physical needs. And with it being on a Wednesday, we will invite people to be a part of our services as well. In March, a team of us will be running in the Mats 5K to help support that organization and their work. And keep your eyes on our newsletter, because there are even more things coming up among us that we have planned for the coming months, throughout this year, and for all time. But as you go back to Acts chapter 2, where Larry read for us earlier, and you consider what opened doors of opportunity for the early church to bring others to Christ, it was the ongoing witness of the good deeds among the people. You see, their good deeds, it wasn't like they were saying, you know, we need to do these good deeds so people don't forget about us. No, their good deeds were just a natural byproduct of their faith in Christ. It was just a natural byproduct of what it means to follow Jesus, to be His disciple. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, "He went about doing good." You talk about a commentary on the life that changed the lives of all men. When Jesus walked this earth, people said, "He just goes about doing good." And when we follow in His steps, you know what happens? We go about doing good as well. The simple acts of kindness and generosity in the early church served as a constant testimony of who the Lord is and what He does through His people. Again, Acts chapter 2, where we read earlier. I'll begin with verse 42. This is after the 3,000 plus are baptized on the day of Pentecost. And this is what life in the early church looked like. But this was also what life in that community throughout Jerusalem and Judea looked like as others observed these people. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Luke makes it clear in his writing that part of the formula for the church's growth was this favor among all. The generosity that they shared, the kindness that they were practicing, the good deeds that everybody could witness was a testimony to the fact that these were a different kind of people. And the Lord's work in their lives was something different as well. You can turn probably just a page or two in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5 as Luke continues the story of the early church. Yeah, there were things that people were wondering about and scratching their heads about, and some things that in some ways you could say were a bit intimidating, but it was also awe-inspiring, and it continued to lead more and more people to Christ. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, Luke writes this, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem." The people held them in high esteem, "and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." I realize that in this passage, part of the picture is Peter and the apostles are able to do things that we don't possess those abilities today. However, imagine being the people within your community and region that everybody's saying, that is who we need to get to. That is who we need to come into contact with. Those are the people that even if nobody else cares about my condition or my situation in life, these people care and they will do their best to address my needs. You know, a lot of the things that we've talked about today are great things where we go into the community. But in this picture in Acts chapter 5, the people are coming to them saying, we know that among these people, they care about us, they love us, and they will address whatever our needs might be, physical and ultimately spiritual. And as Luke says, the church just kept growing. Just like the church in Acts, we want this community, we want East Tennessee, we want the world to know us for what we do. And as they come into contact with us, they will also know us for who we are. Followers of Jesus who genuinely care for those around us. One of the goals of this series has been to remind us of all the good that is taking place among us, that is already taking place among us. But this has not been for the purpose of our vain glory or for bringing attention to ourselves or patting ourselves on the back. It is for the purpose of exalting God, praising Him, and thanking Him for the opportunities that He has placed before us and the good that He has allowed us to participate in. Now, as I think about Christianity in the United States in the 21st century, and sometimes I will speak to these things, but too many stories are about how Christianity is on the decline, about how churches are shrinking, or how churches are giving up on true historical doctrine. And sometimes how churches are closing their doors. I don't say this with any sense of personal pride, but I say this in praise to God that those things are not happening at Morristown Church of Christ. We are a church that is growing. We are a church that is making a difference. And we are a church that has not sacrificed or compromised as we have done those things. And we are going to continue to be that church. And I am confident so long as we follow in Jesus' steps, yes, there will be challenges, there will be difficulties, there will be hard days ahead. But I am confident because God is good that as we follow in the steps of Christ, He will continue to bless us. And if we follow in His steps, He will send people to us who see in us that we genuinely care about them. Sometimes that's hard. It's challenging sometimes to know how to meet people's needs. But if we have the love of Christ, and that being the thing that constrains us, we will do our very best to serve and to help every person with whom we come into contact. With all that said, our show and tell this week, you will see on the screen the new cards that we have. There's all kinds of them on the tables in the hallway. And there will always be all kinds of them in the hallway. These are simple ways as you and I go into the community all throughout the week. Whether it's in the grocery store, at school, the ball field, the workplace, anywhere. You know, sometimes you might come into contact with somebody and you say, you know, I really want to say something more. I can tell there's a spiritual need here, but I just don't quite know how to get my foot in the door. Well, if you keep these cards on you in your purse or your wallet, you can say something as simple as, you know what, I would love for you to come worship with us. Or if there's anything that our church family can do for you, here's how you can get in touch with us. And sometimes there might be situations where you don't want to leave your personal information. I totally understand that. Guess what? My name and the church's phone number is on every one of these cards. You can send them to me, and we'll do our best to help and address those needs. But there's also a space on the back side of the card where if you want to leave a note and your contact information, you can do that as well. As I've said in the past, you can leave them in the restaurants. Just make sure you tip well, because you don't want people saying those people at Morristown Church of Christ are cheapskates. But there's always an opportunity, as we have seen in this series, to show and tell the world of who Jesus is and who His church is. And I hope for those of us who are part of this family here that we feel blessed to be a part of this family, and we want others to experience that blessing as well. We are far from perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And as long as we realize that and we keep following in the steps of Christ, only He knows what will happen when we continue to show and tell our faith throughout this community. And as Jerry said, but Jesus said it first in Matthew 5:16, when we let our light shine, that others may see, yes, the good works that we do, but that they glorify, not us, the Father who is in heaven. So let's go show and tell. Show and tell the Lord to others. Our showing and telling is not about how good or great we are. It is about how eternally good and eternally great the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are. We have the best message. Of all the things anybody could ever learn or discover, we who are in Christ, we have the best message and the best news of all. And that is that our God created us in His image, but all of us, we have sinned and fallen short of His glory. And in His goodness and in His grace and His love towards us, He sent His Son to this earth to redeem us, to buy us back, to take our place, to forgive us of all that we've ever done wrong, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. And the best news of all is not only did He die for us, but He didn't stay dead. And in being both our perfect sacrifice, but also in one who didn't stay in the grave, He said, I not only forgive you, but I'm going to open the doors of heaven so that eternal life is possible for you and everybody else. That is ultimately what we are about. And that is the message that we ultimately show and tell to others. This morning, if you believe those things, but you've never put Christ on in baptism, a baptism that reflects His life, His death, and His resurrection, a baptism in which you find remission of sin, but also you find the hope that you won't stay dead either, because you truly believe that Jesus will return one last time to take all of us home. This morning, if you've never come to Christ, we hope that you make that decision. For those of us who are Christians, maybe today the showing and telling is something you need for your life. Maybe for whatever reason you've gone through a dark and difficult time. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you have sin you need to confess. If you need to meet privately with our elders, they will be available in the library. But if you want the church to share with you in that moment and pray with you, we're here to receive you and love you as well. Whatever your need is of the Lord, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.